One of the highlights of summer is learning about the wide range of theater and music festivals throughout our region. This morning, we focus on the Cooperstown Summer Music Festival. Festival Artistic Director Linda Chessis saw Cooperstown as an ideal location for music festival, with its picturesque lake setting, small-town charm, restaurants and attractions, including the Glimmerglass Festival, the National Baseball Hall of Fame, the Farmers Museum, and the Fenimore Art Museum. The festival began with three events in 1999. Since then, it has offered the region more than 100 performances, from classical to contemporary, jazz to bluegrass, cabaret to kids' concerts. Linda Chessis joins us this morning to tell us about the many cool events going on for the remainder of the summer and a little dip into fall as well. Linda, it's always great to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So, What have you been up to there in Cooperstown?
Well, it's been quite busy, but we have a lot more coming up. We have four events coming up in the month of August, three Sunday nights and one kids concert. And I'm really excited about this coming Sunday, and I was very happy that you chose the Dokhnani Serenade to lead in this segment, and that's what we'll be performing.
Kudos to Sarah LaDuke for that.
Yes, yeah. Fantastic. I'm really impressed. We have Frank Huang, who will be the new concertmaster of the New York Philharmonic, coming. And he'll be starting his tenure at the Philharmonic in September, so we nabbed him before he gets really too busy. David Ricciero, a fantastic cellist, and Dimitri Morath, a Boston-based but Belgian violist, and I'll be joining them for a concert Sunday night. And these guys, the string playing that they do, they're currently up at the Bowdoin International Music Festival.
Right.
This is the kind of knock-your-socks-off string playing that one doesn't hear regularly.
Good stuff.
Fabulous stuff.
When you put a festival together, how much are you thinking about the arc of this is what I want to accomplish and sort of hit all of those boxes?
I think, well, not all. I mean, I decide which boxes to
right.
hit because it's really kind of, I start each season blank slate. It takes me a while to kind of get inspired. And I really, my mission is to offer variety. So I always say it's something for everyone. Not everything is for everyone, but I like to really, I don't kind of like to do repeat things. I get bored easily. So I'm always looking for new ideas, new concepts, new artists. And I think the season is a good one.
I was looking over sort of your past seasons and things that you've done. And of course, you've been a guest many times on the program. It's curious to me that, and feel free, obviously, to disagree, but it seems like there's not much that wouldn't fit into what you do, meaning that you could make a case for almost anything to fit in, to not ostracize an audience in any way and have them welcome it.
Well, I try to, and I think that's also part of my mission. I think we were called the Cooperstown Chamber Music Festival at its inception, and we
right.
changed to summer, and now it's actually spreading out to spring and fall, so I don't know what I'm going to. We'll have to call it the Cooperstown Not Just Summer Music Festival, working on that one. But I enjoy all different kinds of music. I love jazz. I love cabaret. So I bring people whose music I really appreciate and value.
In the work that you have done, what do you think that it brings to the community? What do you think it brings? And given, as you just mentioned, it's a summer festival, but you obviously go in the other seasons now as well. But there are people around. And so I'm curious as to what you consider your audience to be and who ultimately you want to bring in.
Well, we have a very loyal core audience comprised of people from the Cooperstown area as well as Oneonta, Utica, Albany, Troy. It's a bit of a drive, but people seem to find it worth the effort. There's a Clifton Park. There's a man who was in his late 70s or early 80s, he comes to every concert and drives from Clifton Park because he just values the kind of intimacy and immediacy that these concerts offer. it's a little bit different than going to a big venue where you're sort of really far away from the musicians. And I mean, Tanglewood is great even for, you know, for chamber music. It's fantastic. But there's nothing like the intimacy, the immediacy of having artists at close range. Our hall, we're at the Otisaga Ballroom, which is lovely and air-conditioned and seats about 200. Has a cash bar, everything one could want for
air conditioning and a cash bar.
There you go. So
I'm in.
So I really like to, you know, get people to come who might not consider coming to an evening of you know, chamber music, or which is why, for example, the second concert we have is called Shuffle Concert. And this is for people who don't like to be, in a way, told what they're going to hear, but rather have the option to choose it.
Oh.
It's a really novel concept. So when you arrive at the concert, you're handed a menu, and there are 14 different categories with multiple pieces in each. You're given a number. If your number comes up, you're called out. You pick what's played next.
That's great. And it seems, have you done it before? And it's,
this is a group that does this exclusively.
Oh, I see. This
and
is
I'm actually
group.
Joining them, and I had a rehearsal with them 2 days ago. They're fantastic. Fantastic.
That's really neat. And now they have a family concert, too.
And they're doing a kids' concert. This is Saturday morning, August 15th at the Otisaga.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, you know, picked really adorable things. It's for kids, I guess, up until about age 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing, you know, movie soundtracks, Disney, funny music, all different kinds of categories. So the kids have actual choices they can kind of grab onto. They don't have to know the names of the composers.
And then 1924 Now and Beyond.
1924, surprisingly, was a remarkable year for remarkable music.
Mm.
Of course, the year it was rich in the arts as well. If you know the Leger painting of the three musicians, the Man Ray Violon d'Ingres with the violin with the naked woman.
Yes.
All of these are 1924, fantastic paintings. And it was a time when people really wanted to forget about the war. And we were, of course, dealing with prohibition on this side of the Atlantic. But in Europe, it was, you know, pretty wild stuff going on in the 20s.
Right.
So it was really the roaring 20s. A lot of experimentation. So in terms of music, we have Ravel Tzigane, very gypsy-esque. We have the great Rhapsody in Blue, which we'll be hearing in its solo piano version. Prokofiev Quintet, Unusual Quintet for Winds and Strings, Villa-Lobos Duos. So it's a wide range of music from that one particular year. And it's hosted by a very unusual character, Professor David Noon, who's a retired professor at Manhattan School of Music. And he really specializes in 1924. And he knows everything about 1924. So he'll probably teach people how to do the Charleston and how to tie strange worry knots that were all the rage during that period. And he even has costumes. He'll probably dress up and it should be fun.
That sounds fun. I was wondering when you said he was a character, and then I think that's you've described that. That's really great. And then you move into the fall this year. You're not done at the end of August. You will have a special concert.
Well,
in the
people
fall.
Have been asking me for a long time. Would I consider doing things off season? And I have a job. I'm head of woodwinds at Manhattan School of Music, and I have my own performances. But I thought I would give it a try, and we started last in April. And it went very, very well. So in October, we're having the Chiara String Quartet come back to the festival. And they're currently the string quartet in residence at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And their new thing is they do everything by memory. All the Bartok quartets by memory. All the Brahms quartets by memory. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
So they're coming to do Brahms by heart with us in October. They're playing it at the Met Museum on Friday, and they're coming here on Sunday.
Do you do that for fun or to show off, or because you can't have the music and nobody would, you know, be mad?
No, it's not a question of that. I think it's the ultimate intimacy. to be able to embody, literally embody the music, so there's nothing between
the
you.
The only thing, it's just you and the instrument.
You and the instrument and your partner. No, your partners.
Oh, okay.
So it's really, you know, just like acting. I mean, so you doing a script with, you know, doing a stage reading with music, or really delivering it by heart.
Now, it's interesting you bring that up, because in many conversations that I've had with actors, they talk about the importance of the audience and what they get from the audience. Do you feel that as well?
Absolutely. The audience is critical to any successful performance. And I'm really blessed with a fantastically attentive audience for some reason. They really are wonderful listeners, super engaged. And one can sense that being on the stage. And the more the audience feeds the musicians, the more the musicians, the better they play.
Well, you have a lot going on. And so the first one is coming up this weekend, right?
Yes. 3 Sundays, 7:30.
So tell us a little bit about this Sunday's.
So this Sunday is with the fabulous string players, Frank Huang, the Philharmonic concertmaster, Dimitri Morath, the violist, and David Ricciero. And they'll be doing the wonderful Beethoven string trio, which is as difficult as any of the Beethoven quartets, but there are only three people rather than four handling all the music. So it's pretty wild stuff. The Handel Halvorsen Passacaglia on a theme from Haydn, Handel, which is the ultimate sort of show-off virtuosic piece.
Yes.
I'll be joining them for a Reger trio and for the Jet Whistle, the Villa-Lobos Jet Whistle, and they'll conclude with the Doknani, and it's going to be wonderful.
Is it fun for you? I mean, you're running the thing, but then you also get to come in and perform as well. So that dual role you enjoy?
Well, it's oftentimes very fast hat changing. You know, I'm doing too many things at the same time. You know, sometimes the easiest thing I do is actually play the concert.
Right. Oh my God, we have parking issues, right? And then you're called into duty. Well, Linda Chessis is the artistic director of the Cooperstown Summer Music Festival, CooperstownMusicFest.org for more information, CooperstownMusicFest.org. And, well, you can go to our website as well. We post our segments there. You can listen to this one again, WAMC.org/roundtable. And again, CooperstownMusicFest.org for more information about this week's concert, and as well as all the rest for August and into October. Linda Chessis is the artistic director for the Cooperstown Summer Music Festival. Great pleasure having you here. Wonderful success to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.